Absolutely.
And is Jason Ellis in today?
Yes.
He's coming by to say hi?
Yep. Why did I read some prep yesterday about all the goings-on with Jason Ellis? And it's, you know, there's some interesting shit going on in his life. But why is it, don't know if we could talk about this? If Jason Ellis is a guy that is saying we can't talk about this,
well, just,
what the fuck is happening?
Because somebody told me that this happened, and I don't know if it was a sense, I don't know if there's legal things.
Because Jason seems like a guy that, you know,
I think,
he'll talk about anything.
Can I see the paper? I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's here. Okay, I'll look at it.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's something about gay sex and...
I think that was
teasing,
good.
Of course. Actually, there it is. Rolling.
I guess that's where you guys teardrop from.
Oh, shit.
He's got a teardrop now?
Yeah.
Well, he's always had it?
He's got his... I think it's his ex-wife's initials in a heart that's tattooed on his face.
Are you kidding me? Why the fuck did he do that?
I don't know. I mean, he may not.
It's like a gangbanger sign.
It's like a Lil Wayne teardrop.
You're really
type of
committing
tattoo.
That you are not getting a regular job at that fucking point in your life. Like no matter what happens, you're never going to be able to fall back and make a living doing anything else.
I told you when I went down to Occupy, there was a guy. Oh, no, this was Philly. I told you, the giant one he had on his face. Not
That's
just
crazy.
A little, tiny, little subtle one. This one took over his whole cheek. A huge teardrop.
Like, if you're Mike Tyson, you could do it. You know, Tyson ain't going to be out there fucking, you know, ringing up groceries there at Vaughn's.
He's too busy doing his
Herman. California. He's Vaughn's or Ralph's.
He's too busy doing his Herman Cain impression.
Yeah. Hey, fucking to a T. It's
yes.
Hilarious.
What other station is Jason on? He's on, he airs 6 o'clock. On this channel on Saturdays.
He's on his show's on Faction.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yeah.
He's on Faction every day.
We do a best of on the weekends here.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll break in.
Sirius XM. You're listening to Opie and Anthony. Whether or not you're paying attention is another question.
Wow, wow. This is pretty cool. What is this, E-Rock?
This is Jason Ellis' new song.
What?
Ooh. Toto Moto Botaski.
What does that mean?
Turn it up and get Jason.
Laughing at the name of the album.
Jason Ellis in studio. I like that, man.
Yeah, it's about jet skiing naked. It's like yoga for... I just figured out I was really obsessed with... I want to get out in the water, but I don't want sharks to eat me.
Yeah.
So I was trying to surf. I finally got over sharks eating me. And then when I would surf, these fucking assholes get all angry at you for surfing. And I came to surf to get away from the stress of, you know, been working for... the man and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, look, I don't want to fucking fight dudes in the ocean. I was trying to like become one with nature, and I'm like, how do I get away from these fuckheads and still be in the water? And I'm obsessed with being naked. You can't be naked in public. You go to fucking jail and shit. I got kids. So I figured out I want to get a jet ski. I'm sponsored by Kawasaki. And then I got the stand-up jet ski, and a stand-up jet ski is... it's a difficult fucking thing to ride.
Yeah.
So there goes the relaxing thing again. You're now doing the same shit that I always do. Fight, jump, shit, fucking skate,
right.
Idiot.
Right.
I'm like, I just want to fucking relax, man. And then I figured it.
Sit down, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's...
personal watercraft.
Yeah, but in my world, the action sports fags, they think that that's gay to have a sit-down one. I'm like, you guys don't have a fucking job. You ride toys for a living. I remember that. You don't need to relax. Your life is a vacation.
Mm.
So then I got this fucking jets. It's supercharged, and it's 300 horsepower.
Oh man,
no way!
It
really?
Does 70 mile an hour.
Oh fuck!
So
nice.
Yeah. So I go out on that thing, and then I get out far enough to just take all my clothes off and just fucking rip into it, and it's very therapeutic. And then I like to lie there, and there's always every time I park it out in the middle of the ocean, naked. seals come over. They're not gay seals. They come over and hang out, and I liked it because I like to talk to animals and shit because I, you know, got fucking problems. And they float next to me, and I just, you know, I look at the sky and say, "Fuck yeah, man, you made it. You got yourself a fucking 300 horsepower fucking ship boat, and your dick's out."
Here's what I'd be afraid of. By the way, I used to have a Sea-Doo and zip around. It's a fucking blast. I love it, but I'd wear kind of a wetsuit bottom, and, yeah, and it kind of holds your balls up a little bit.
Gotta,
because when you're bouncing on that seat, the idea of having your nuts fucking down there where you could smash down on them is frightening.
It is. It is 70 mile an hour. It is dangerous.
Yeah,
if there's
random
in the ocean,
a random wave, things can get hectic.
And if you're flying off the thing and you land dick first, it could rip your dick right off.
Right, it would. But yeah, I've never done that. I don't turn when I'm naked.
No.
You don't. No, not even a fucking
straight
not
line.
One angle at all. Yeah, fucking
that's
dead shit.
Yeah.
The balls sort of swing back and.
Because man, if you're turning on that thing, you do a nice tight turn, you hit a wave wrong. Boy, do you fly!
Yeah, I've done that.
You can put far away from the thing too. You
can snap your legs off on those things.
Yeah, Jesus, it's crazy. Christ.
What do you do?
Love it.
I was just laughing because I don't want Jason to think I was laughing at a song. I'm laughing at the new CD called Death Die.
That's my new band.
That rules.
Shilly did some stand up at the. We did a gig last night. And he did some stand up before we went on, and he said that you know, because Jason went to rehab, and Jason doesn't drink, he doesn't have sex, he doesn't fucking smoke weed anymore. He just changed his band to Fag. And I was like, I've really contemplated doing that. Because that thigh is pretty sweet, but Fag is like, you know, it's right, it's in your face.
Figure it sums it up a little bit. You know?
It really does round me up.
What happened to you, man? Out of nowhere, we all learned that you went into rehab.
Yeah, well, I, you know.
You want to walk us through that a little bit?
Okay. Try to do it fast.
you know, my
dad, you were sober for how long? I'm sorry, but how long were you sober?
Completely sober 3 years. And then I started, my little brother died. I started smoking weed a little bit. When I went back to Australia, I smoked some weed with my friends and my old friends. And I was like, that was like helping me cope, which was, it was the first mistake. And then
how long
ago
was that?
That was 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So then just a little bit, but not much.
Mm.
And then I had a producer that Sirius had just decided to be good for the show. And he was a nice guy, but he was a fucking old idiot. And every time he spoke, it was like fucking chalkboard shit. And I couldn't deal with it. And I just wanted to go on the radio and go, cunt, fuck, cunt, fuck, die, fucking hate, I hate. So I was smoking weed before the show.
All right, I want to slow you down, though. The stupid suit's thinking, oh, we need to control the show a little bit with Jason.
It wasn't
someone that kind of knows the business.
Yeah, he was going to teach me the game. And I was like, I don't need the game. That's what I'm good at, is accidental bullshit.
I love asking you this stuff because we went through all that same shit. It's like, just let us do our dumb show. They would try to give us producers and people that would watch over us.
I tell you what, man, things have changed.
Good.
I am not here to bitch anymore about SiriusXM. Those guys, for once, like, though, I went
stepped
to
up.
Fuck yeah! They listen. They're like, whatever you want to do, and I'm like, I don't like that. Okay, Mr. Ellis. I'm like, fuck, thank you.
But we are talking about the old times when they gave you that guy. So that guy made you smoke a little more weed.
Yeah, and then it escalated, and then I thought that I was being successful, responsible, making some good money, and why can't I have a beer every now and then? And then as soon as that happened, maybe that took, I think it was about a year. It was actually after I was here, did a Stern show and then your show, and I was number one on Google search, and my manager's all pumped, and I'm like, you know what, man? Fuck, I'm going to go to the bar and have a beer. What the
celebrate
fuck?
A little celebration.
Yeah, I had a beer and I watched a soccer game. One beer. I was like, there you go, you're good. And then every now and then on a plane, and then every now and then at the fucking truck races, and then every now and then I got paid to do a club appearances, the death of me.
Yeah, those are the tough ones, huh?
Yeah, and then
because they expect you to drink and be out of your mind, right? At those club
appearances. You're up to. It's like they say, show up at 12 and stay till 2. That is not a time for a guy like me to be awake. I've got two kids. That's a weird thing for me to do.
Right.
So
true. Yeah.
Then you know I've always been somebody that wants to have sex with a lot of people. Jim, you know I've had sex with China. Why would you do that? She's not that attractive.
She's
really? Kind of a man. Yeah,
I like a big clit.
You said that.
Jimmy kind of had a little thing for her.
Soon as I said that.
You did tell. Okay.
Yeah, you were like, hey, I'd fuck her, and I was like, okay, cool. But you know, I've always sort of fought to not fuck everybody because I want to badly, and it got to the point where. There's porn stars and shit that were texting me, and I was just, I'm like, it's gonna fucking happen, you know what I mean? And if I fuck somebody and my wife finds out, I don't have any family over here. I love my in-laws. I really love them. It's not like a opposite thing that everyone else talks about when they're married. I love them. And if I fucking cheat on my wife, that's their daughter, and they're not going to like me, and my wife's not going to like me. I've got two kids. It's just not worth it. So in therapy, I just said that I think we should split because I'm having urges of stuff that I think I'm not going to be able to stop sooner or later, and I don't want to hurt you anymore because I did it back in the day. I did it. I slept with a whale. And she found out, and it was just like, not only am I cocksucking cheap, but I'm disgusting as well. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fat people, but
there's a lot wrong with them. What made you go say that to her instead of saying like, I'm gonna do something for the sex addiction or
I didn't know I had sex addiction. I didn't believe that there was sex addiction. I just was like, I'm a dude that can't. I'm 40 years old. I cannot stop. Know who you are and fucking let her live a life with it and find a normal person that she can trust. She deserves that.
What's the difference between being a dude and being addicted to sex? Like,
I'll tell you, because I know.
Okay.
I had to do my life coach went on the internet and said, answer this survey, and I answered it, and he's like, says here you're a sex addict. It's a thing where you don't want to have sex with people that you have sex with. Like, I like hot chicks, but if you're a fucking bush pig and you corner me, you can blow me. And then as soon as I come, I'm like, oh my God, you're so disgusting. And then because I say I'm disgusting, I hate myself and I want more people to blow me that I don't like. So it just kept going. And then it escalated to, you know what I mean, the hard rock. You know, I left my wife, man. I never loved anybody more than that person. So it didn't make any sense that I would do that.
How long after you left her did you hook up with somebody?
Like 2 days.
Did you already know the person who you were going to hook up with?
No, no. It's just all the people that I was like, no, I don't want to, but I really do. You know, I would say stupid things like I really do, leading them on, you know. I can't, but I fucking would if I could.
Sure.
Like, you just don't say that.
Instead of just going, no, thank you.
I couldn't say no.
Because you don't want to cut them off.
There was fucking two people. The guy that has the A tattoo on his face would say no, and then the other guy would go, but I would if I could, and there was no one around.
Well, I'm a little confused because... the little I know about you, you said you were, you know, really in love with your wife, right? Mm-hmm. And now you knew you were going to do this, so you would rather leave her than do it. But why wouldn't you, at that point, sit down with her and try to work it out?
We've been going through this for... I've been wanting to have sex with other people for the last 2 years.
Right.
Wow.
And you just realized...
I was just like, I'm gonna do it. You know, right. There was already text messages and shit. I don't really want to get into it.
Intriguing.
Yeah, I'm doing shit that if she saw it, it's cheating. I mean, it didn't go in the hole, but fuck, dude, it mentally.
And it starts slowly too. It starts with like, you're like, hey, if I wouldn't get caught, like, yeah, that's really wow. You do have a good ass. LOL. It's something kind of innocent.
Thank you. Well, yeah, Jim's on it right
but
there.
But it absolutely builds slowly, and you convince yourself. Like, you'll actually. There's times where you'll write LOL in a sexual thing and actually go, like, you'll actually laugh just so you're not lying. But it's complete self-deception, and it's all leading up to inevitably doing it.
Mm. Yeah. So then that whole thing happened, and then I was at the Hard Rock. I got this massive room. The Hard Rock gave me this thing with a fucking elevator in it, Jesus. And I'm hanging out with chicks that I don't know. I haven't even talked to them. I blacked out at the party, and I woke up, and there was a girl there that was fucking. She was kind of hot, but not. I don't want anybody in my room. It's over. And then I'm brushing my teeth and she's doing some bumps like out of a fucking dime bag. And I'm like, what's that? She's like, that's morphine. You know, I got stomach, my uterus hurts or something. And I'm like,
Jesus.
I'm like, oh, that's not more. You mean it's heroin? She's like, well, whatever, you know. And
whatever.
I'm, yeah. And I'm like, I don't do heroin with people. I'm past that. And now I'm like, here we go again. From back in the day when I was a kid where I did heroin. I let hookers shoot me up with heroin. I'm like, you fucking go there again now? After look, I fucked my skateboard career at the very end. I could have stayed. Now I've got this chance to do radio. Like, for a guy to love something that much, be good at it, and then fucking fall out of it and find something else that he loves even more and is even better at, that's bullshit luck.
Yeah.
Don't fuck it off. So I called... therapist, and then I called Psycho Mike, he's a co-host with Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew called me, and then we did this whole, you know, ask questions, blah, 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 and he's like, you're a fucking sex addict, you need to go to rehab, and I knew that weed thing was too much, and I can't drink, it's ridiculous, so I was like, fuck it, let's go. And I went in there and did all this therapy and found out, because I thought they were going to say, your dad died, your brother died, you're trying to fucking medicate yourself.
Right.
And then, you know, I knew I was molested when I was a kid, but I didn't know. I just thought it was the neighbor because that's what my mom told me.
Mm-hmm. Did you remember it, or did you just like see the affection? It became obvious.
I didn't remember until I was 17 when I after a demo, I took acid and a bunch of crystal meth, and I had an imaginary friend, and I was in a pool in the top of a hotel talking to him. My girlfriend was just standing there watching me because she thought I might drown myself. And I said to my imaginary friend that I was molested by my father. She called my mom. My mom said, fuck, I didn't think he would remember that. Whoa. It wasn't his father. It was the neighbor. And then I dive into it with therapy. And, you know, I mean, the neighbor, my father and my mother went over to his apartment or something and said, how could you? And he said, it wasn't me. My father is dead now. My father, I've never seen anybody with a worse temper than my father. I've seen my father knock people's teeth out for cutting him off on the freeway. It's, you fucked me. And you didn't, because I'm a dad. You fuck my kid. I don't give a fuck. I'll kill you. End of story. I don't give a fuck. You're dead.
Right.
And that my dad was way less rational than me. So, and then when I came out and I stayed back in my house, like 2 days later, I came out of his house and he's there in the kitchen. He's like, do you think you got molested? And I was like, yeah. Do you think it was me? I was like, no, I don't. And then I walked off, went to the ramp skating. Never brought it up ever again.
Did you think it was odd he asked you that? Like, do you think it was me?
Not at the time. No, because I just didn't want, I couldn't believe that it had happened. Because once I found that out, then I started to, like, I could see shit. Couldn't see a face, but I could see a dick. And then I knew the game. Jeez. Like, the game was like, you know, you do it for this long and I'll do it for that long sort of thing. Like, I got played into that.
It was like, you suck me and I'll suck. It's funny, I did that when I was a kid with other kids.
Right, well then that made, you know, I mean, because then, you know, the therapy of that, because it felt good. So now, if it felt good, then it's my fault. And then me acting out and wanting people, because all I wanted chicks to do is blow me and take control. I don't want to be in charge of anything, which is what he was doing. So then, you know, I mean, all this therapy is like, my father did this, and that's why I am the way I am. And I told my wife to leave, and now it's gone. It's over. Like, I don't have my wife. My wife's moved on. And then my therapist says, it's not your fault. I'm like, I've seen that movie. Don't fucking do that to me.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not my fault, but I don't know. I live in an apartment by myself, and I don't want to. You know, what I mean, I don't want to. I make good money, and I live in some fucking shitty apartment in Santa Monica, and she lives in Beverly Hills with my kids and sees other dudes. And
Jesus, how long have you been supposed to be?
Like 3 months.
Well, it's not that long. I mean, people take breaks sometimes, you know.
Yeah, but I fucked people, and then there's all my fans that would be like, Ellis is drunk at the Hard Rock, and he's got some fucking tattoo, bitch, and then some chick, because I told her when I went to rehab. I don't want to get how many. I had a couple of girls, and I told them all, like, I'm a sex addict, alcoholic, and you know, addicted to marijuana. I'm going to rehab. I just want you to know I can't see you, and I appreciate it if you didn't contact me. And you know, I don't want to be mean. And some of them were like, cool, and some of them were like, fuck you.
Oh shit.
Here's a photo of your dick on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, and then so my chick sees that, and I don't care because my dick's on. It's fucking Howard TV, and I don't know, but my dick's everywhere. Yeah, fucking clamps, gay dudes fucking cupping my balls. I don't give a fuck, you know what I mean? And I'm packing, so who gives a shit? But I the only person I didn't want to see that was her, and there's just more stabs to the point where she's like, I'm moving on, and then she did, and she has, and she's happy.
Jesus.
And I'm happy for her, but that's the only thing.
Do you have a goal where you want to be? Like,
yeah.
Because it seems like... Like, that's kind of a spinning out of control thing.
Well, I'm in fucking therapy all day,
dude. Where do you
want to be? I want to get past this whole sex addiction thing so that I'm allowed to see other people. I'm not allowed to see anybody.
Mm.
And I want to be, now that I know what happened, it's far more easy for me to be 100% happy.
Right.
Because I just didn't know why I wasn't 100% happy. I'm like, I got everything. But I'm like 20% depressed all day. And I would smoke weed to fill that void. So now that I've got that, I just want to see therapy. I just want to stay in therapy, stay straight, work on myself. Because the only thing I don't like, I forgive my dad, I forgive everybody. I don't forgive my dick yet. I just don't, because okay, it's not my fault. Dude, I was there. I know what I did.
How old were you?
When? What?
What was happening?
It was when 3 months.
When you were a kid, how old were you?
4 to 5. They said 4 to 5, and then, because I have I remember being underneath my bed holding... The underneath of my bed with my hands and my toes staying off the ground to hide, and he would come in with a torch And I don't, and like all these things, because I had like some hypnosis and shit.
That's a flashlight to you Americans.
Thank you, because yeah, it is a flashlight. Yeah, so all this shit.
Because a torch is a torch.
Yeah.
No, no, he didn't burn me. He didn't burn me. But it's weird, because he's my idol. You know, he was, and he was a good, he loved me, but he was fucking crazy. And that made me crazy, gave me a fucking sweet job. I mean, there's a part of me that, the crazy bit that people are entertained by, like, you know, if I'm scared of snakes, I get a 9-foot anaconda to come in the next day and bite me.
Right.
That's not normal, but fuck, if you're listening to my show, that was pretty entertaining. So, you know, I take the good with the bad.
Are you afraid that if you get healthy, quote unquote, or stop doing certain things, you're going to lose the performance side of, like, Jason Ellis, or, like, the part that makes you interesting is going to be gone?
No, I actually believe that shit is overrated. I really thought less of myself and thought that if I didn't do that, that nobody would listen to me. But I'm actually more...
You got more confidence?
I'm more positive now that what I say is far more entertaining than, like, hey, watch me bleed, you know?
Yeah, this is amazing to listen to you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's unbelievable. I'm actually excited.
How long ago?
I'm just a little bit depressed because of that one thing if I had done this a year ago, I'd be,
How long ago was rehab? You just get out?
A month ago.
And how you doing?
I don't need it at all.
Really?
I don't need the drugs or the blowjobs at all. I don't.
Are you doing anything besides just like keeping it vague? Are you doing any 12-step stuff?
I go to meetings when I'm around, but it's not even really like I'm an alcohol. You know, I go to meetings just to be safe. It's the sex addiction thing that is, because I can get. I feel like it's not a problem. It's hard for me to get around that. So my therapist said I can jack off now, so that's cool. But,
well, that's the issue, though, is like, okay, if you're an alcoholic and you're in recovery, you know you can't have anything to drink.
Right.
Sex addiction, now you got to have sex.
Sooner or later.
It's like somebody with a food addiction, they have to eat to survive.
Exactly.
So it's hard to continue with it.
But you got to know, like, you have to know you're an alcoholic, like, you completely know it. And that's the one that's, because you're going to black out and do stuff. There's no way sex addiction will stay away if you black out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, a couple of drinks and all of a sudden I'd be like, what's a blowjob? Come on, what's the big deal? But it's a tough thing because I can't buy any weed, I can't buy any booze, I can't have even a bimbo, like a companion, like let's go to lunch with a bimbo. I can't do that. So it's a lot of.
Damn.
So what are you doing? Jet skiing, obviously.
I'm fucking. I'm in New York and I'm at my band and fighting and my kids. It's not actually that difficult.
Where are you at with your kids? Because I know how much you love them.
Well, my wife is, we're still good friends. So I live down the road. I come and see him every night and I have him on the weekends. I actually spend more time with him, but I just need to focus on being really happy, you know, practicing, training like I train to fight, train to skate. On being happy, loving myself so that I can fall in love with somebody else in the future and be happy for my and take care of my kids.
What about the ex?
That's like the goal, yeah.
What's that?
What about the ex? That's definitely done?
I don't know. I mean, I would take her back in a second, but I can't think like that because I'm one of those people that is like, you know, I keep bashing myself. She's happy and seeing other people. I don't need to fucking live in that world. I need to just work on myself.
And I imagine it's humiliating to have your husband publicly on Twitter being called out, so maybe the satisfaction is hey, look, I'm doing this too. I'm not trapped in a humiliating situation. Maybe it's not the other guys as much as it is just not being humiliated.
I don't think she's in love with anybody else or anything, but I think, you know, I'm just happy she's happy. But there's that, you know, I'm in therapy, man. I have that 20% of the, I wake up sometimes and I go, oh, and then there's a wave of emotion that hits me and then I go, fucking suck it up, shithead. You've got two TV shows, your kids are fucking awesome. Don't do it to yourself. But, you know, I'm only human. I, you know, there's probably 20% of the day where I do that, you know? I just think about it and...
What's the tattoo, by the way?
It's Andrea. It's A.
That's it?
With a love heart.
Oh, okay.
Right on his...
Like a teardrop.
It's so obvious to me now, the fight that I've put on. I mean, I put that on, like, you know, I mean, willpower. Like, you love your wife. Put the fucking thing on your face because then chicks can't fuck you. What is that? That's my wife's initial.
Oh, shit.
You know, my whole back is covered in a family of elephants with determination across it because I'm determined to keep my family together. Like, I was just trying so hard to not do what I wanted to do.
Damn, man.
So you go to therapy often?
Yeah.
Do you talk to other sober people or just a therapist?
Well, I have a sex therapist and I have like a life coach. I talk to a life coach like 4 or 5 times a day and my therapist 2 times a week. I can't afford it anymore.
4 or 5 times a day?
Mm-hmm.
But no sober people who are just not charging you?
I don't have a sponsor yet because I got out of rehab and came to New York. But I've got a couple of people that I knew in rehab that I talk to every now and then. But I'm not, you know, I call those people if I think I'm going to use. I did a gig last night. I told my bank, can you keep drunk people off me and chicks off me? Because my therapist said, you know,
it's the whole club.
So, we played my new show on Fuel TV aired last night. So I'm sitting in the club standing there trying to watch a show, and it's just drunk people, and a couple of people came up and the weed thing came off their face into my face, and I was where the fuck is my band? Why aren't they? I want to watch the show. And then I was cornered by a couple of chicks, and they want to do this and they want to do that, and they think they're hot, and I was like, thank you. Yeah.
God, you're in hell, man.
It's not that bad. It's really not that bad. I mean, it's the story. It's, I know I'm on the radio, you want to hear the story. There's the story.
It seems a lot of turmoil, but
it's all around you.
My other TV show got picked up the other day. Me, Christ. Bam, and Tony. I've been trying to work. That one was 3 years in the making. Hmm. And now I've got that.
What's that show about?
It's about me, Bam Margera, and Tony Hawk. All three of us are skateboarders that work in the radio world. So that's where it bases off. And then it splits off into, you know, all the stunts and the shit that we do. And
it's like a reality show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's Jeff Tremaine is the producer, the guy that does Jackass and Nitro Circus and all that shit. So it's all I ever wanted is this one thing to... Because I just want to get out there and get bigger so that I can come back here and make Scott Greenstein bleed.
Good luck with that.
It's everybody's goal, isn't it?
Yes. Good luck with that. He's a fucking robot.
I believe I can get to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You guys have been there. So,
I don't like
But what fun. I really want to do is pump this fucking album because single shit, rock and roll shit, I don't know if you guys know this, the number one rock and roll single is fucking Nickelback and Daltrey. And I'm like, America? Do you know how fucking gay you are? the whole, you know what I mean? Like, who's the biggest guy in radio? Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Like, fag off. You fucking pussies. Like, America, Canada, you're all fucking gay. Like, fight the fight, you shitheads.
I don't get it. I mean, there's nowhere to play this stuff except for satellite.
Well, I made...
Radio went away.
I made one song on the album that has no profanity at all. It's called The Pain of Time, and it's a song where the fans actually wrote the lyrics about falling in love and being gay and having the breaking the chain. It's just all bullshit. It just actually doesn't make any sense. The whole song is just about being gay,
right?
With no cussing in it. So I figured if it was really gay, that you pussies would get it as number one on iTunes, because I want to be number one on iTunes.
Strategy. I like that you got an unplugged version of "You Could Go Fuck Yourself." That seems very nice.
Right. I mean, the other band, we had the other when I had the other band Taintstick, we had a song called "Fuck Your Face," and we had a G-rated version of "Fuck Your Face," and there's like four words in it. It's 3 minutes, and you can't hear any lyrics at all.
The album's called Ninja Flying Eagles, right?
Yes, it's a re. It's
and the
a
band's
25th
called
anniversary.
Death Die.
That's right.
Yeah, go, Jay.
It's a 25th anniversary edition because it's been that long.
Wow,
yeah. We're very, very funny, Jim. Yeah, fucking idiots.
How's the? Are you back on the radio live?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
On Faction.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not hiding anything. I would have done radio in rehab. That's how I roll. Everybody has to know everything about my life. I think that's how I got here, and that's how I'm going to stay. So, you know, it's very, very exciting.
Yeah. I'm always comfortable giving out information, too. Giving out information is very easy.
Yeah.
Like, even painful, despicable information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The harder part is when I'm doing something to convince myself that I'm doing it. Like, when I'm doing stuff that I know is going to take me to a bad place, I still allow myself to do it, even though I give out the
information. Even though you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of joy in every bit of pain that I have, because I'm like, well, fucking, that's going to be an hour of glorious radio, you know.
Your mom's still alive too, right?
Yeah. That was the other funny thing in rehab. I had to call my mom and my stepmom about the whole thing, come to think of it, and I'm like, oh my god, come to think of it, do you realize how offensive the sentence "come to think of it" is to me? But you know. Higher power, I forgive you. Fuck.
That just sounds rough, man. Yeah. I don't know. It just sounds like so much work.
You guys know how it is. Fuck, come on. You guys just lost a fucking close friend. You got to, like, what are you going to do? Just give up? What would he want you to do, you know?
Give up.
Give up, because he was really pompous. And that pompous motherfucker wouldn't want anybody continuing
that
without
motherfucker
him.
Motherfucker wanted the earth to stop spinning. Yeah,
he wants a mass suicide.
If there was a button he could have pushed with his finger as he died to kill us, he would have pushed it in a second.
Yes. Oh, man. Okay,
funny.
Well, then, yeah, keep rolling the depressed game, then.
He was an amazing talent. Did you know him?
Yeah, no, I've been in here. I listen to you guys all the time. You know, he was in here. I met him. I don't know him, but
you were
in
once with him.
Yeah, and I listen to your show all the time. I know he's a funny guy. I mean, 41 and a heart thing, because I was diagnosed with heart disease when I was like 38. And I went to hospital and I was in there on the bed and they're fucking putting these things on me and I'm like, oh God, I don't even know you, but please don't let me die right now.
Shit.
And then 3 months later, all this heart tests and shit. I don't have fucking heart disease. I panicked myself into freaking people out. So yeah, but I know, that's cold. It's not cool. You know, I've lost my brother. He's 24. I know how you guys feel. I know it's real recent.
Stroke. Yeah.
I know. I know it's different, but. I get it.
It's the same thing, though. So, I mean, it's
not right. 41
is
not right.
But, yeah, no. It's a young death.
He's a fucking dude. He's not an old man.
Yeah.
Old men die.
Yeah.
I keep seeing that number 41. I'm like, fuck.
How old are you?
48.
48?
You're 48? Yeah. I'm just kidding. Look much
you look really good for 48. Do you not listen to corporate at all?
Huh?
Sorry, just being
corporate?
Being an
fuck
asshole.
Corporate.
I love them. They're very, very nice to me.
Are they?
Well, you know, I could.
Well, you re-signed with them, right?
Yeah, for 1 year, which is awesome. Because in another year from now, God, my dick is just going to be huge, Jimmy.
Just
huge.
Fucking,
I would hope so.
Yeah. Smack it around everywhere in here.
Just go in there with fucking your dick out.
I really am going to put it on the table. Yeah. Like, my dick says 1 million.
Here you go.
I actually walk into the negotiations with ice in my underpants and just say, please don't fire me.
Every time I actually get asked to go into one of the glass domes, I say that. I'm like, am I fired?
Am I fired? Am I going to hate this? Am I okay? Yeah, you're fine. All right, good. Proceed.
But I've never had better meetings in the glass house in my entire life. Everyone very happy, very
good.
Nice. So, yeah, I'm very, very happy to be working here. Love it. My race number is 41 now on my truck because I changed my race number because I got fucking 89. My dad's race number. So I had to change it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm representing my channel, hardcore racing. Fucking, I'm going to get the tattoo. We're going all the way to the fucking top.
God,
it's going to be glorious.
How do you find the time to do all this?
Because I'm
father,
I'm a
radio guy.
I mean, the whole
TV star.
I was going to die.
In a band.
It motivates you, dude. It's one way or the other for me. I was like, man, my brother died, and then I got heart disease, and I didn't. There was a lot of flashes of, you should probably do something because you might not be here for very long. So that really drove me. And you know how it is, the fans, dude. I got into this and I pump people up and people pump me back and we're all fucking each other in the ass and now I'm amped.
Do you ever enjoy it?
I love it. It's the number one, my kids, then radio.
I follow you on Twitter and it seems like you're like almost never satisfied.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay.
But that's, that's what therapy is
for. There's a difference between loving something and being satisfied, too, you know?
Yeah, but I think if you love something, that brings in
but you always want want a little more of something.
I get a lot of satisfaction, but I don't. I think that we're all the same here. We're never satisfied. Why would you? Why would you still be here? I mean,
I'm satisfied.
You've done it all. I mean, you got fucking cars and guns and houses and shit.
It's just a pisser
and hot fucking little girls and shit. What the fuck? Like, some people be like, that's enough for me. Yeah. I was like, a jet ski is enough for me. It's not. I need a boat. I need to run over P. Diddy in the ocean.
We're in the same boat. We want more,
Yeah.
And we don't feel like this place is really, really understanding that yet. I hope they understand it before we fucking find something else.
I really hope you guys don't go.
We're very stagnant here, unfortunately. We had a lot going on before we entered this building, and that's where all my frustration comes from. We had comedy tours and animation festivals, and
why don't you do that again?
In our own studio that we were proud of, and it was all just kind of taken away from us.
You hear the business end of it, and it's like, well, this isn't viable for this, that, and the other reason. You're like, oh, okay, fine.
And we're kind of lost.
Kind of lost.
No, we're kind of lost as far as that part goes. Every on a day-to-day basis, we're not lost. We're still kicking it on this show. But we want more. You know, I miss doing those comedy festivals. They were awesome, man. We did it 3-4 summers in a row.
You can't do it again? Like, I just do it by myself. The Ellis Mania shit, that ain't no fucking serious XM thing.
Yeah,
I can
show you. I guess we're going to have to.
Yeah, it's not that difficult.
I guess we're going to have to, you know, like, I guess because we're just sitting back expecting them.
Yeah, don't wait for them to do that.
Man, I need that. Let me tell you something, though. Then they chime in with, they want a piece of it.
Right. Oh, okay, my new TV show. Happens.
Yeah,
but I don't want to go too far. But
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
Don't even have to go any further. I know exactly.
3 years in the making, and then we're ready, and then all of a sudden, whoa, ho, 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 hey.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Really?
How did I get here by myself?
Right.
Now you want to fucking jump on my back?
How do you chime in on that one?
I just move. I just keep moving. I don't care. I'm like, okay, good. Jump on. I'll carry all you motherfuckers. I don't give a shit. You're not gonna give up.
Right.
I'm not gonna stop.
No, I know. We got to figure it out.
You guys are bigger than me. Why don't you just fucking do Opie Mania? Fuck it. I'll show up and kick the shit out of your fans.
Now we got to figure it out. We've been kind of sitting back just...
Waiting for them. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Never. Never do it.
I knew that a long time ago. Somebody from the... What is it? The political radio... I don't know who it is. The bald dude?
POTUS? Pete Thomas.
Yeah, he cornered me one day. I was like, you and me, man, we're the future, right? I'm like, oh my God, dude. We're going to go into Skuggery's. He says, tell him like it is. And I'm like, you don't get it, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't tell anybody in here what it is. You fucking make yourself or you're fucked. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
There's no team meeting.
That's
we'll
the future.
Fucking unite and quit. They don't care.
They don't. No. They let anybody walk.
Just go, dude. Do it yourself.
A lot of very talented people have left. They just left.
They don't care.
And they don't care because then they replace them with dummies.
I can't and I won't.
There's a bunch of dummies walking around this place. I don't respect most of them.
I can't leave satellite because I can't do normal. I don't want to do normal radio. I don't make I'm not satisfied enough to be G-rated.
No, that's the problem, though. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
They know there's nothing out there on regular radio.
I agree with them. Good. Keep me. Watch me fucking make it. And you, okay, don't pay me $1 million. Don't think I won't get it another way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, think about what I have a lot of fans. It ain't from fucking TV shows. It's from my radio show.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful.
It's one of those deals too, where you just gotta line everything up, and that you can do by yourself.
Yeah.
And see what happens. If this goes to shit, then it goes to shit. But you have another place to go.
Isn't it making billions of dollars?
Apparently.
We did that.
Well, then we're good.
We did that.
Yeah.
We've got the FU money now.
You've got a few money.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Fuck both of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Jim, I know you've got a ton. Sam, you're broke.
I certainly don't.
Rightfully so.
Most of my money comes from stand-up, though. This is not the biggest part of my money at all. It's stand-up.
But don't you think the stand-up,
it's
the radio
by the
show...
Oh, without a doubt. Right. Yeah, man. I it certainly helps. I love doing it.
But you make millions of dollars, right?
I do okay. Millions?
Fuck,
no,
dude,
I don't. Not all. No.
Get the fuck out of here. I know you're clicking a million a year.
No.
All three of you motherfuckers are.
I'm telling you that I do good. The money I make here could be... If I worked a lot more on the road, I could make what I make here, honestly.
Yeah.
But I love doing it because I love doing this, and it does help with gigs.
Okay.
But it's like I'm paid off in my apartment, so I'm in decent shape.
You
own your apartment.
That's huge.
You got a shiny car, fuck you car?
It's a lease.
Yeah, but is it a fuck you car?
It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. There you go, man. You're getting your fuck you car, and you say fuck you. Come on, it's so bad. Okay, Scott Greenstein's got a better fuck you car. So what? Don't worry about him. Think about all the people beneath you. Sam, you fucking dishwashing shitbag. Like, this guy's got nothing.
You still got to
be like, hey, man.
I could always look at Sam and feel good about myself.
Sure.
See? Yeah. He's right here to help you
and
every
right
day.
There,
so
every
could Jerry
day.
Sandusky.
I was over Sam's house recently. He has the smallest TV I've ever seen. Even when I was poor,
nice.
I had
you still have a big TV.
Is it a flat screen at least?
Yeah, it's a flat screen. It's like,
How old is
Sam's
it?
Sam's a cheapskate.
He's a little guy.
He's a little
cheapskate.
I'm a small person. Hey. It's big to me.
The one in the living room is really small. And then the one in the bedroom is
even
smaller.
You've got two.
Bedroom.
That's what fucking one more than me.
But when
two
you were
TVs.
When you were poor, you always made sure you got the biggest fucking TV, right?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
I was into that. Yeah,
drinking.
You know what the thing is though. See, he's got a girl that's way out of his league.
You got a girlfriend.
He's got
getting married.
Oh, excuse me.
He's got to take care of it.
good idea to get married at 28.
Oh, God.
Another what, 60 years of bliss?
60
Power
years
move
of bliss.
There by Sam. Broke with a fucking baby TV, getting married. Good idea.
Oh, man.
The one in the bedroom is horrible. It's a 12-inch Quasar TV VCR.
Quasar?
It's horrible.
You should have kids.
How's
yeah, plenty of kids.
Is it 12
right
inches?
Do it,
yeah.
Is it, Sam.
Is it 12 inches?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Barely.
I mean, but it's there, diagonal.
Diagonal? It's about what?
12 inches.
12 inches
it's
diagonal. 12, so.
That's how big his TV
just look
is.
Look at your fucking laptop. Save the money.
Exactly.
You know, from 3 inches away, a 12-inch screen looks huge.
Right. He's in bed, that's though. Right. He has to look across the room at this
doesn't that, but doesn't that feel good right there? You're telling me he yeah. fucking sucks. He's oh, getting married. He's yeah. going to have kids. It's going to suck. You're going to get divorced. You're fucking broke. You can't even afford. She's not even going to get any of your money.
Be
you
nothing
guys
there.
Are ripping.
Oh, it's crazy.
I know Sam doesn't make a lot of money around here, but he still is a cheapskate.
Yeah, you are cheap.
Well, it's hard to be cheap when there's no money. I mean,
you should be. You're broke.
Yeah, I can't, what am I going to spend?
You max out your fucking credit cards. Like
I'm not
going to
go into debt.
You use a credit card?
No.
Okay, see? Good. There
see,
you go.
He's got it.
Max
yeah.
out that fucking shit.
Don't listen to
I always maxed out mine knowing I was going to make it eventually. Max out that shit.
Okay, I didn't look at that angle. Okay, positive attitude.
That's
max
right.
it out because
max
you're going to be able to pay it off.
You're going to make it.
Does Jess look at rich guys and think, like, God, what could be?
Jess is satisfied because of my potential earnings.
Oh, really?
That's right.
She doesn't look at other maybe radio guys that have big houses, movie
penises.
Theaters in their house instead of 12-inch television.
Shiny cows.
Yeah.
Talking about the compound specifically? Or?
I was just bringing up just
houses
any,
in Long Island that she's been to.
Just a... Yeah, just
she'd get tired
generic,
of your shenanigans.
Oh, please. Of course she would.
So would he.
Yeah. Well, they all do after a while, Jimmy.
Rotate.
They all do.
They all just get tired in the end.
They all get tired of it in the end.
Fuck
that's
this
for
shit.
Sure.
Yeah, in the end, just get a dog. You'll be all right.
sometimes it's years or months, whatever it is.
Just go sailing with a fucking poodle or something.
Jonathan's walking down the hall.
Oh, yeah, he's going to come in and sit
down. Yeah, it's
this
one of those
guy
things.
Has some stories, too, Jason.
What? Who's this?
He's one of Jimmy's guys. And
my manager.
He travels the world and goes to crazy-ass places.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he go to Thailand?
No.
Jonathan!
I'm kidding.
Hey, Jason buddy. Ellis.
There he is. How you doing, man?
That's Jason.
How you doing, mate?
Hey, man. How are
you? Thailand, huh?
Nah, he's more like, where have you been lately, Jonathan?
How about Myanmar?
Uzbekistan.
Where?
Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Where is that near Pakistan?
Where is that
It's a double landlocked country between Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan.
Oh. And, that's all that old Soviet bloc shit.
Yeah, it's the bureaucratic empire of a man named Islam Karimov.
Oh.
Who is the leader. He's been in power since 1990, and they were the only country that didn't want to leave the Soviet Union. They were sad when they broke up. So,
just the people that love being fucking dominated over.
And why did you decide I need to go there?
Well,
it's a good question.
It seemed like a cool thing to do at the time. Mm. It's the one place you don't want to get sick. I got violently sick there in this room that it was like a safe house, guest house thing. You do not want to be sick in this room that I was sick in. It was really bad.
Did you just think you were going to die there?
Yeah, I did.
And I still don't understand why you're saying.
It was like,
we don't know why.
It was
don't get sick. Still very confused.
It was a bathroom that you don't want to be sick in. And the toilet paper there doesn't have perforations. It's like, they call it scrag. And it's this
scrag.
You wipe your ass with scrag.
It's awful.
I would actually just wait till I was back on the plane to shit.
How can you hold that in? It doesn't make any sense.
I'm really good at that. It comes from kneeling and holding shits in.
It could be bad for your bowels, though, right?
Very bad for you.
I'll shit anywhere.
Weren't you with scrag?
Me too.
Weren't you with scrag back in the 70s? The opium scrag show?
Yeah, opium scrag. On your radio.
You would like it. I think you can buy arms there.
Yeah?
Like, not just guns, arms.
Here. Yeah. Oh, real, like arms, artillery.
Yeah, you didn't hear that correctly. Yeah.
Grenades.
Fuck the guns, you can buy arms.
That'd be fun.
Wait, I don't know. I'm trying to explain you to Jason. Like, Jimmy brought it to our attention. Like, he goes to these African countries that are fucking fucked up.
Yeah, but
places
why?
Where
I still haven't.
Never,
I still didn't get a why.
Yeah. Like, are you saving the world or what's going on?
CIA. Where they have the local parade for the new local king, that type of shit.
Yeah, why?
He's with the agency.
Because it's cool. I mean, you know,
it's cool. Have you ever? What about fucking Costa Rica and surfing?
I've been there.
You're over it. Now you're going to places to get violently sick.
No,
that's your new thing.
This is the first time I ever got sick on a trip.
But you like going to ghetto places where people are just fucked, and you sit.
sit there and enjoy yourself.
He looks around and goes, wow, this is it's like us looking at Sam.
Why fly somewhere where you can just stare at Sam? He's right here in the studio.
He gets all the shots for these countries, and he goes. You were in the backwoods of the mountainside of Afghanistan too, right?
Yeah.
Not just in Afghanistan, Jason. He like took the fucking car and checked things out.
I have to show you a picture. Oh. I'm going to pull it out.
I'm not going to get an answer on why, huh?
No. I don't think he knows, because I asked for a long time. I'm in the middle of negotiating a special. It's like, where is he? I don't know, someplace they cut clits off. It's like, are you gonna, how am I going to contact you?
Right. What, Jonathan, what was your first trip going way back?
Well, the first one, like the first crazy one, Africa. I went by myself and I drove across West Africa. That was, wow. That was...
No one does that.
And the funny
thing
was,
you met your match, Jason Ellis.
I was too scared.
His life is agony.
I was too scared to make a deal with like a too stupid, I should say, to make a deal with like a tourist, like a travel company, to have the guide set up and meet me at the airport. I thought, well, I can't trust that stupidly. So I thought, well, I'll just meet someone there and hire them to take me around. And then I realized when I got to the airport and I met this guy wearing a dashiki, you know, and a big hat. It was like out of the Eddie Murphy movie, you know, Coming to America.
Did anybody show up with a thousand nails in their fucking head and say, "Welcome to my house"? You are the hideous pain of life, traveling with people who are suffering all day. Do you save any of them?
I try. I don't try to like, you know, make it worse for them.
He's on vacation.
Wait.
So it's vacation.
Care. So yeah. you met this guy, and then what happened? This was your first trip.
He took, I hired him, and then literally he said, I have a friend who can drive you across the country. Because I was a little scared about actually physically driving myself. And so we went to this guy's house. The whole thing, I mean, now that I think about it, that was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And we went to this guy's house, and we met him. He then said, okay, great. And we did this weird car swap thing that, like, I thought I was going to die when that happened. But then it was fine. Then we drove, you know, from Mali to Burkina Faso to Ivory Coast. A bunch of places.
Just picture a map with the arrow moving on it, like Indiana Jones.
I'm just picturing someone's click getting cut off.
Yeah. That too. Yeah.
There's a picture I'm trying to find here on my phone to show you guys of when I went to Uzbekistan. I texted Patrice because he was really upset that I was going there, and the airline, Uzbekistan Airways. Their slogan is good luck.
Man, I feel really good about my life. Between you and Sam, thank you very much. I might go ahead and celebrate.
It's crazy. Jimmy brings these stories to us all the time. Yeah. It's insane.
You got Dane Cook coming in?
Yeah, Dane's
outside. Right outside the studio. We got to take a break.
I
did a roast for Kerry Hart, and Dane Cook came out after it. And Dane Cook said, give it up for Jason Ellis, the funniest person in the building.
Wow.
And it really, really meant a lot coming from somebody who's... And I don't care. And if he comes in, I don't want him to fucking answer the question. I just want to take it as that's what it was. It was real. He didn't joke. He was very serious. Very, very funny. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Let's see.
You're showing him back a stand or a clip coming off?
That's the
plane going into the clouds.
It says, good luck.
Wow.
What?
That's some creepy
that's
shit.
That's their logo?
Yeah.
What?
Good luck, Dr. Jones.
I want to get into some more of your traveling stories, but we're going to take a break at Dane Cook.
And get Dane in, yeah.
And Jason's album is called, the band is called Death, Death, Die. It's Ninja Flying Eagles. And I'm going to play some of this on the Boneyard.
Can you play Toto Moto Bodosaki? It would go good on the Boneyard. I love you on the Boneyard, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You actually made me... called Scott Greenstein and said, can I DJ an hour on a channel? And he said yes, and I never did. You know how that
is. Oh, it's fun, man.
But I would love to. You're the best guy, best DJ on radio besides Bob Dylan.
Oh, thanks, man.
Bob Dylan's so obscure
awesome.
That I fucking love him. I'm like, what the fuck are you on, you twisted?
It is an amazing radio show. Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I listen every fucking time. Yeah, no problem.
He's a genius.
All right.
Thanks, guys. I really
Jason Ellis.
Thank
you,
Jason.
In Faction, every afternoon.
Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 3 to 7. You know, whatever. I own that shit.
Is it on Sirius NXM? I get
it's on both. The same. 41 on both.
Oh, cool. Oh, look at that. We don't get that.
What channel you're on, and Colin said 206 and some other one. I'm like, what? Why aren't they just one fucking number?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I don't know what
We got
just more stupidity from the company. I don't even know what channel we're on.
You're on 206 on Sirius. I know that.
Yeah. And 190.
105.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
105. See, I swear to God, I just said 190. Well, I was going to say 198.
No, that's wrong.
It's 105, right?
Yes,
I get confused every fucking time.
Don't be gay, America. Go on iTunes and get the Toto Moto Botosaki or the Pain of Time so that we are ahead of Nickelback and Daltrey. Yes, you are all fags.
Thanks,
man. Thanks, guys. Serious XM,
the Opie and Anthony Show. Eric, you said in my ear today when Jason Ellis was on the show that you thought his remarks about me not being the wealthiest of persons was unnecessary.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like what you do to me and anybody else, where you just throw some really unnecessary, hurtful comment out. Just because, you know, hey, things are flying around. I'll throw it out there and see what sticks.
He's right, though. Ellis was right.
You are a piece of shit dishwasher, yes.
No, he didn't say piece of shit, did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, if you don't have
it. If not, I'm embellishing.
Okay, well, that's unnecessary then to me. But, yeah, Ellis was on. He was talking about... It was interesting to have Ellis on. And I'll tell you why. Because Jim, we all know and love Jim. He's talked about his sex addiction on the show forever. And just the constant masturbation. And the prostitutes. And the drinking of urine. And the massages. And the this and the that. And the... Listen, what was interesting was Jason Ellis coming in here. Because Jason Ellis... also says that he is a sex addict, has just recently realized this, though. He and his wife had broken up. He said he realizes now he's a sex addict. So it was very interesting listening to somebody come to terms with this when it's a condition that we all know very well through Mr. Norton. Jim is every day trying to incorporate it into his life. When Ellis said that he was finally allowed to jerk off, his therapist has said, okay, you can start jerking off again. All I could think about was how quickly the downfall into Norton territory will go to the point where Ellis is jerking off literally six times a day and getting nothing else accomplished. Who knows what's going to happen with Ellis, but I think he was trying to inspire people today when he said he was going to go down to the boss's office when his contract expires. And he was going to demand $1 million. I mean, and then he had to bring, I mean, the fact that Jason Ellis gets to go down and demand $1 million, that's what he, and then.
You should do that when O&A's contract ends.
Well, here's what I was thinking. Because Ellis brought up the fact that I have no money. Opie decided to bring up the fact that I invited him into my home, and his observation was that I have two shitty TVs, which is very nice on his part. But what I'm saying is, if Ellis can go down there and say, I want $1 million to re-sign with this company. I don't have a contract to do after Opie and Anthony Live. You know this by now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go down and I'm going to march right into the boss's office and I'm going to say, if you want me to do another year of after Opie and Anthony Live, I want a contract and I want $1,000. $1,000, Eric. A year of after Opie and Anthony Live, and I want $1,000. And who's going to stop me? Jason Ellis has inspired me to go after what I deserve. I am going to go into that boss's office, and I'm going to demand four figures. One and three zeros, no decimal places, maybe a comma, depending on how you write it. $1,000. And I don't think that's too much to ask. I think I can accomplish it. Because I was listening to Jason Ellis. He's going to ask for $1 million. But let me tell you, Jason Ellis, you might end up with 999,000, whatever it is, 909, whatever. I don't know all the math right off the top of my head. 998, whatever. $1,000 less than $1 million because 1,000 of that is going to go to me. Did you hear this, Roland? I'm putting down the gauntlet. At some point, I'm going to go and I'm going to demand $1,000 from the bosses. What do you think?
Make it two. Fuck it.
Fuck it. Live large. Right?
Take 2 to 5.
Two. $2,000.
Okay. Well, you think they chop JCPenney's for their suits?
You're right. They got the cash. Listen, we got to go. We'll be back tomorrow with more Opie and Anthony and after Opie and Anthony Live.